contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When you have John chapter 2, there's a couple of things in this. It's just about two things I want to show you that I saw that I'm just anxious to share with you. And hopefully you'll receive and rejoice. Amen. And so I don't know how long it'll be here, but John chapter 2, when you have that and you're looking at verse 1, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. John chapter 2, verse 1 says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Tell somebody, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto his servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Hallelujah. Want to use for a thought today, a topic, title or tag to the message that we're looking at today. They have no wine. Amen. They have no wine. Amen. And that thought comes from the third verse where it says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Amen. Amen. The Bible gives us this story of the first recorded miracle of Jesus. Who knows for sure whether he had already done some miracles? Who knows what he had already done in his life? Apparently, we see here that his mother was very sure and dependent on him to do something. So that means that he at some point had been taking care of her and taking care of business for them a long time. And by this time, Jesus is 30 plus years old, and he's a grown man, and he has now had a following of people that has just swept the land. His ministry is sweeping the land, and he has a following of folks because it says that they called him and his disciples. So he was a rabbi teaching people, and they got called unto this wedding. Amen. But when we start to look at this, and I want to kind of share with you the angle that I'm looking at, because when we start to talk about wine, you know, most people go to think about the stuff that they drink today, you know, the Moscatos and the whatever, Chardonnays and, you know, the things like that. But this wine was not the same kind of wine, because you have to add some stuff to that wine to make sure it gets fermented like it should. You know, you have to do some things in the process to make it happen. And this process, you didn't have to go and crush no grapes, and you didn't have to do none of that kind of stuff to get this wine. But let me share something with you. The Bible says in Psalm number 104, verse number 15, it says, and wine, this is talking about God, what he does, how he made things and how he did some things. He said, he's the God that what? Made the wine that make it glad make it glad the heart of man. So God made wine that made glad the heart of man, and all to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth a man's heart. So that has a deeper reference, but I want to just share with you that wine was created to make man's heart what? Glad. Amen. Amen. And so here they are at a celebration, and they have no wine. Now, the celebrations, the marriage feast, the celebrations, they would last for days, sometimes a whole week. And you were responsible for making sure everybody that was invited had something to eat and drink. It was not like today's days where you can go to the store and just go purchase up some stuff. You had to make sure you prepared yourself because they didn't have supermarkets. They didn't have, couldn't just go to the cooler section and pick up some meat and go up there and ask Brother Smith, would you, smoke this up for me for my wedding? No, it wasn't like that. You had to already have all this stuff prepared. And they invited people, and they had run out of wine. In other words, the celebration wasn't so jubilant anymore. They were just kind of, how we do. We get together, and we just look at each other. You know how Christians do. We can't have fun anymore. We got to just look at each other. That's then we say, oh, we had a good time. No, we lying. We just. But anyway, it says that on the third day, I'm trying to get there, y'all. Be bear with me. He said on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now, the thing about this miracle that caught my attention was that it was in Cana of Galilee. Cana is the reason why they said Cana of Galilee, to make sure that you didn't get it mixed up with another city that was bigger called Cana. And so he was saying that Cana of Galilee, they went to a marriage feast that was in a small village just north of Nazareth. And they went to this small village, and this is where Jesus chose to do his first miracle. Isn't that something how it don't have to be a lot of people, just amongst a few of us, God can come amongst us and do something if we let him. We think that we got to go to a mega church to have a miracle in our life. But we don't have to go anywhere if we would just get our hearts right, get our minds right. And look, notice something else. It said that he went to a marriage. And when it says that he went to a marriage, it means that he went to a place where there was a union or an agreement or a covenant going on. If we would get in agreement and in covenant, and that we would walk together in unity, God would do miracles in our life. Amen. But because we have too many things going on at the same time, I want God to bless me, and I ain't worried about you. I want God to do this over here instead of doing that over there. We don't walk together in love. We don't walk together in agreement. We don't even, we don't, when it's time to praise, I don't like that song. Somebody else said, oh, that's my song. And we just sitting there and waiting on my song to come on. If we would just get in agreement and walk in unity, because that's what a marriage is. It is a union, and he chose to do this miracle in the place where there was a union going on. Is there anybody in here that say, I'm ready to unite? The Bible tells us in Psalm number 133, he says that behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. He says like a precious ointment that goes upon the head and the beard, even Aaron's beard down to the skirt. In other words, the anointing of God, the power of God will flow from the head. The priesthood, we are royal priesthood. It'll flow from the head down to the beard. No matter where you are in the body, you get covered by the anointing because you're joined in. You are united in the body of Christ. Amen. And notice what he said. He said that like the dew of Hermon, he said that the dew that caps on top of Mount Hermon, he said, but there the Lord commanded the blessing. He didn't say it was just the mountain. He said where people walk in unity, that is where God will command a blessing. And the problem with us, and especially in our community, the reason why we suffer is mostly our fault as Christians. And the reason why we don't have the things that a lot of places, other places, they're growing and going is because we can't walk in unity. We can't walk in unity. Everybody's against everybody. Everybody has their own agendas. And you got a group over here and a group over there, and then you get a new group that ain't with nobody. Everybody just, got their own things going on. We can't even get the churches to agree. We can't get the pastors to agree. It's all kind of confusion and strife and all kind of, everything going on, envy and jealousy and hatred and whatever. If you do something, I don't like it, they can't rejoice with you. If you get something, they can't be happy for you. The Bible said, rejoice with them that what? Rejoice.
And since we're not in unity, we can't abide in the blessings of God. We can't receive the anointing of God. And that's why we don't have the power of God activated in our town, in our city, in our parish. We say we have a good time because we feel the presence of God. Yeah, and that's good. We do have a good time. But, you know, when are we going to say we had an awesome time in the Lord because somebody got healed in the service? You know, when are we going to say, oh, the Lord delivered me right there in the service. I used to be hooked on something, but now I'm loose from it. Because when we want a miracle to happen, there has to be unity. There has to be a marriage. Oh, I wish I had somebody. He says that he went to the marriage feast. He went to celebrate. But we come in here, nobody knows the trouble I see. You don't see anywhere where they complain that they had to walk them 10 to 15 miles. And we got cars. And we get out of them mad. Y'all hear me? We get out of them mad. We fussing when we get out of the car. Come on and say amen here. He said that they went to the marriage feast, and he says that the mother of Jesus was there, possibly somebody that was related to him that was getting married. And it says both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. They went to witness the marriage. Anybody come to witness God to doing something in the house? I came to witness. I didn't come just to do my daily duty. I came to witness God move in somebody's life. Somebody unite with the church. Somebody unite with God. Somebody walk in agreement. Somebody walk in unity. I came for that. I came for covenant. Covenant. Amen. So it said both Jesus and his disciples were called, and they wanted wine. They wanted wine because the party done got dull now. The celebration, ain't nobody happy. We thinking about going home. But if you give people something to stay for, I wish I had somebody. We have to give people something to stay for. If we invite them to this unity fest, if we invite them to this covenant agreement that we have with God, we have to give them something to stay for. They're not going to stay if they're still thirsty. They're not going to stay if they're still hungry. We have to give them the word. We have to give them a refreshing word so that it will quench all of their desires. He said, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Yes. Filled. We have to make sure that we give the righteousness. Yes. But we've been given wretchedness. The gossip and the lies and the backbiting. Y'all come on, help me today. So he says that they participated, and this is the thing, you know, for the person who think, you know, that you know, you're so holy that you can't participate in social things, wherever you are, I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, you got to see what Jesus did. Jesus went to the feast. Oh, I can't be around that. Let me read it. Jesus went to the feast. They ran out of wine. He went to the party. And I'm not telling you to go to a party, but I'm saying quit being so judgmental of people who do things that you say that you don't want to do. The Bible says, how can we judge another man's servant? You have no right to judge. Because just like I have some stuff, you got some stuff too that you got to go to God for. And if we take our place and take a place in judgment, then we're saying we're trying to take God's seat. Because he's the judge. And let me tell you something, you ain't going to move him out of his seat. All right? Jesus was a social person. For all of us who say, oh, I don't fool with nobody, Jesus was a social person. How are we going to get people to believe? How are we going to get people to join up as a Christian and want to be one if we finicky? If we fickle? Y'all with me here? He was a social person. He went to places where people gathered so that they may know who he was. Yes. And we got people misjudging the church, and we getting mad because they don't really know what the church is really about, but they run their mouth about the church. Well, you ain't show them nothing because you go sit up in the house. Right. Show them who the church is. Right. Show them that the church loves. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Show them that the church is a forgiving church. Yes. instead of a judge. That's why I don't fool with them church folk now, because they always talk about that. Show them that that's not who we are. It may be a few of us, but that's not what we're about.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Just showing you a few things in here. So they were called to the marriage feast. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. They have no wine. And this caught my attention because Jesus' mother is there. And now, I know y'all ain't holier than Mary, and she went to the party. Huh? Okay, all right. She's full of grace. Amen? Holy. That's right. So he says that they wanted wine, and when they wanted wine, they is inclusive of all of them that was there. The disciples, his mama, you know, they sat together. You know how we do. We go to a party, we're going to sit with who, you know. They wanted wine. So she looks up and she says, Jesus, they have no wine. They've run out of wine. And you know, in that day, if you ran out of wine or if you didn't have enough to provide for people, they had a governor of the feast. If you didn't have enough to provide for people while they were at your party, then they could bring you to court. Say, you starved me out. Invited me over here, and you starved me out. You said you was going to feed me, and you didn't. In other words, you didn't keep your end of the bargain. See, people had to keep their word back then. Now you just lie for no reason. Just lie just because. Back then, people kept their word. I'm going to take care of you. Just come on over. I'm going to take care of you. Then, you know how we do. I told you to come one day, but man, I feed you one meal. I gave you breakfast, but you're on your own now. So he said that they had no wine. And again, I go back to what I said at the beginning. Wine makes the heart what? Merry. They had no joy. They had no happiness. They were just sitting there and saying, well, what are we going to do now? We got a 15-mile walk and we thirsty. You know they didn't have cars. Uh-huh. And we not going to even hardly walk out to the mailbox. We send the children. Y'all with me? We said, you know you do. When the last time you been to your mailbox? Or you backed the car up? And what you can't reach has been in there because it got pushed all the way back. You just leave it. Y'all with me? Just checking to see if you're awake. So he says that they have no, she said that they have no wine. And so Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. She knew that he had some ability. And the other thing she knew is that he could do it if he wanted to. And I don't know if she thought he can turn the water into wine. I don't know if he had ever done that. But I knew she probably had an idea that he could do something about this situation. Because, by the way, he got him a big church now. So you know how y'all think preachers can get anything. You know, preachers got, they can get the money. Y'all can say amen to that. You know you really think that. So she said to him that, Jesus, we need some wine. And Jesus said, what do I have to do with you? What are you asking me to do now? And because it's not time for me to start doing stuff yet. I'm just, you know, I'm here. My hour hadn't come to glorify, to show this. But you asking me to do something. And the thing is, I like about Mary is that she had confidence in Jesus no matter what. Even though he answered her and didn't say, yeah, I'm going to do it, she still had confidence because the next verse says she told the servants to do what he said do. See, you got to have that kind of confidence in Jesus Christ that no matter what you ask him to do, even if he don't answer you like you want him to, you're confident that he's going to do what you need him to do. Do I have any witnesses here? I am confident that he'll do exactly what I need him to do. She said, they have no wine. That was a need. They needed something, and God did what they needed him to do by doing whatever he told them to do. Now, notice what she did here. She said to the servant, she said, do whatever. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 5 says, and the mother said, mother of Jesus said, to the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And here we are. We have to do just what they did. Whatever he said, do. See, that's the problem. We ought to have confidence in God that he'll do exactly what we want him to do. But the problem is we don't do what he say do. That's the problem. We don't do what he said to do, but we expect him to come through for us. How can we expect him to come through when we hadn't done our part? We haven't held up our end of the bargain, and so we still expect him to do it, but we ain't doing nothing that he said do to get it. Y'all help me today. That doesn't make sense, but we still, you know, we got to get out of this handout blessing that we want. God said we got to do something. You got to at least have faith. You got to be able to put your faith in action at least. You got to act like you believe or something. We get discouraged and we don't want to act like we believe, and then we start doubting God. Then we get mad with people. We do everything opposite of what God said do, and we still expect him to move on our behalf. Now, it's a shame that we act like that with a God who created everything, a God that can deliver by his word. He can heal by whatever, by the blowing of his breath. He can give life, and we still doubt him. Turn around and expect him the next day to do something. Today, we mad. We upset and crying because he ain't done it yet. Y'all still with me here? So the mother of Jesus tells the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. I just admire her confidence in him that he was able to do something that maybe she had never seen him do before. Do you have confidence that God could do something that you've never seen him do before? Do you believe that he can do it while you're sitting at the table? Preach. Yeah, I believe that while I'm sitting at the table, whatever I need, he can do it. See, somebody else can tell us what he's done, and we didn't see it with our own eyes, but I'm looking for the day I can sit at the table and I can see him do what I believe that he can do. I have confidence that he can do. The Bible tells us don't cast off our confidence. Don't throw it away, but keep our confidence in God. No matter what comes our way, hell or high water, whatever comes our way, trials or tribulation, make sure we keep confidence in God that he can do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Do I have anybody that agree this morning? All right. So she says, do whatever he said, do. Now, the thing about this is that the servants could have easily said, who is she? Because, you know, we don't work for her. Because that's the attitude we would have had. You ain't my boss. You don't tell me what to do. She ain't Jesus. Huh? That's just how I get my orders from the Lord. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. You know, that's how we act. We don't want nobody, and we get in contempt with everybody and everything that's going on. And we don't want nobody to tell us nothing because we think we're right in our own way, our own eye. And here, now the thing about this is that she said, do whatever he said, do. Now what if he tell you to go do more work than you've been doing already? These servants have been serving every day. But now she finna put more work on them. Now we would have got mad. Now it don't make no sense. I'm tired. My feet hurt. I'm ready to go home. Be glad when this thing is over. That would have been our attitude. Come on and be honest with yourself. You complain now. When you get to work, you're ready to go home at 8 o'clock. These servants have been working. And I'm going to show you something here. She says that it's whatever he said, do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone. The number 6 is number of man. So it was for man. It was for the use of man. And it says, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, the thing about this is means that the firkins apiece, 2 or 3 firkins, means that these pots were big enough to hold somewhere between 17 and 25 gallons of water. All right? 17 and 25 gallons of water. You know, that's why, you know, we when we buy water, we be struggling to get it in. And it ain't 25 gallons we holding sometimes. Now the thing about these water pots, I saw them personally. I saw some of the water pots that were similar in Jesus' day that they used at the place, the church of the marriage, the church where they put where the marriage of Cana of Galilee took place. I've been there, and the water pots are they probably maybe as wide as two of these chairs put together, and they're made of stone. They're not plastic jugs. So the stones itself gives it some weight. Then you put 25 gallons in there, that's more weight. So he tells the servants, because the water pot's sitting by there, he tells them that, you know, go fill the water pots. Now these pots were used for something. They were used for purifying of the Jews. Notice what it said. What it means that it was used for the washing, for the washing of things, whether it was utensils or whether it was for the wash their hands, because they didn't have running water as we have today, where they just turn the sink on and you know how we turn it on, walk away and leave it running. We use about 8 gallons of water when we sit up there and brush our teeth because the water's still running. Wasting it. They didn't waste it, because they had to go draw it and carry it. Y'all still with me here? So it was going to be more work for them to do, but Jesus told them to do it. After Mary told them to do what Jesus said do. We got to tell people they need to start obeying God. Do what he said do. But look at this. And sometimes it's going to cause you to work. We think it's going to, it's just because Jesus said he going to bless us, and because we're looking for a blessing, we think that we ain't got to put no work in. We think that it's just going to be easy. We think it's just going to be something real simple, that, oh, it don't take all of that for me to get what I need. I shouldn't have to work this hard, Lord, for the things to go my way. And that's what we say. You know what? You have to work hard, and that much even harder, in order for things to go your way. I wish I had somebody. Everything is not going to be easy the way you want it to be. Everything is not going to work out just how you think it ought to. Sometimes it get hard. Sometimes the road get rough. Sometimes the going gets tough, but you got to hang in there. So here it is, these pots. They were used for for religious activities and ceremonial activities. And so he said, go and fill these water pots up with water. And I don't know if the water pots, you know, I'm pretty sure that they didn't pour the water out that was already in there, because if they just like us, we ain't finna pour out the water. He just said fill them up. And if they had full, y'all, you know, you get what I'm saying. So they had to go fetch water. They had to go get water, bring it back, pour it in the pot, or either carry the heavy stone pots to where the water was, fill it up, and carry it back. Yeah. Sometimes you have to bear burden in order for you to get the blessing. Yeah. I'll have any witnesses here. Sometimes you have to carry the load in order for God to load you with benefits. Yeah. Y'all don't hear me today. So he said that he told them to fill the water pots up, and it was 6 of them. So that means it was probably 120 gallons there. So they went, and they had about 125 gallons of water that they had. And now you know that all of this finna be wine. Finna make some people happy. He says, and Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. They didn't just wait. He said, fill the water pots. He ain't telling them where to stop at. They said, well, we might as well put a bunch of it in there for whatever he's about to do. We, you know, make sure we overflow it. We got it to the brim, up to the top, to where you ain't nothing else you can put in there. They made sure. Now, some of us, we would have said, that you think that's enough? Yeah, that's enough. But they went back and got more water until the water pots, all 6 of them, couldn't take no more water. Yeah. When God tells you to do something, you keep doing it until it can't nothing else be done. All right. All right. If he tells you to praise him until you can't praise him no more. In other words, if you got to get out of breath, praise him. If you got to lose your wig, y'all still with me here? Praise him. Come on and say amen here. Whatever, if you lose a shoe, praise him. Do what you got to do and keep doing it until he's satisfied, until satisfaction comes. And so what Jesus told them to do, they kept doing it until they couldn't do it no more.
See, the problem is that many of us, when he tells us to do something, we do it until we feel like, well, I think I've done enough, and we quit. If he tells you to give till you can't give no more. If he tells you to pray until you can't pray anymore. I wish I had a few people in here that said, I'm going to give it all I got. I'm not going to stop at a little bit. I'm not going to stop and say, well, I think I've done enough, because what we ever do is never enough. We got to continue doing the work. We got to continue praising, continue practicing whatever it is he told us